Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Good morning and welcome into Jones and Keefe here on WEEI, just a tad after 10 a.m. here on Wednesday, December 24th, 2025. It is Christmas Eve and it is ball. And it is Terp. Good morning, Terp. How are you, man?
Good morning. I am great. How are you?
It's great to be with you. I'm doing great. Justin Turpin, of course, that's his full name. Dan Ball with you here and for the guys, Jones and Keefe. We got Jackson back behind the glass on the ones and twos. And we are the last thing that you hear before the Infinity Sports Network as we get you into the holiday season. So we got a stacked show here today in for the guys. A lot of Patriots conversation. And we start, Terp, with the return of somebody who made some waves a couple of weeks ago in Patriots Nation. Cam Newton called the New England Patriots, God, better part of a month ago at this point, fool's gold, middle of the mall, cubic zirconium, and then went on to, you know, say a bunch of different things. Drake May then responded on WEEI Afternoons and got real, real close to saying, I don't listen to people that I don't respect. He said the R in respect and then stopped and, you know, finished the rest of the sentence and said something that was a little less controversial.
Which was a little crazy because he did a celebration when they played the Panthers there earlier in the year. Like, that was his boyhood hero.
Right. And yeah, he said as much. He said, I loved him growing up. I modeled my game after him. And then Steph Diggs, bless his heart, The next week before the game, went up to him and did the celebration. Drake was like, "Nah, I'm not about that," and then kept moving on. So that happens. And then we get a follow up a couple of days ago. Cam Newton was back on First Take after the Patriots beat the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football. Now, here's my question to you. First off, Terp. So we'll get to Cam Newton. He kind of starts the little bit of the walk back, Gerard Mayo style walk back. Would you have walked back a fool's gold comment after watching the Patriots game on Sunday?
No, not after that game.
Okay, why?
And my whole thing with it is, it wasn't a good game by the Patriots. It was a good fourth quarter.
Right.
Like, that was, you know, there was a lot of concerns in that game. It was, at the end, it was an impressive win, especially given the injuries. I mean, they had 10 guys leave the game with injuries. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
Like, so the injuries and all that stuff piling up, yeah, that makes it an impressive win, but it wasn't necessarily a great game by the Patriots. They played well in the fourth quarter, and that was important. Like, you needed to see them have that type of win where they come from behind in the fourth quarter and on the road, especially in prime time. Like, that's a big win. That's a statement win. But the rest of the game wasn't necessarily clean football. Like, they wouldn't look like a dominant team. So after that game, I wouldn't be rewalking the fool's gold comments, especially with Lamar Jackson going out. Like,
right.
I would double down there. Now, I don't think that's necessarily an excuse because the Patriots, like I said, needed to win a game like that. But for Cam Newton, like, it was right there for you. You totally could have tripled down on it.
I mean, it's also you're beating a 7-7 team.
Right.
Like, I understand that there were elements of the Baltimore Ravens that did not match up well with the Patriots and the injuries that they had, specifically the injuries on the run defense. And, you know, Derrick Henry kind of gashes you for the first three quarters of the game, scores the touchdown, and then also gets benched by his coach, you know, right at the time when you would want to steer into the run game. But so you have Lamar Jackson going out with injury. You have Derrick Henry scoring his second touchdown and then getting benched, and three quarters of pretty sloppy football and sloppy football from your quarterback. But a fourth quarter comeback, a win for the Patriots in a standalone primetime game. And again, you're not taking anything away from them, but I'm with you. There wasn't enough that came from this win for me that made me think, oh, yeah, they've answered all the questions that we have about them. All the questions that make you think maybe they're a good regular season team and a team that's certainly on the up in the long term. Like, it seems like the Vrabel May era is going to be a pretty damn fun one in New England. But it's year one. It's year one of that. So, Jackson, let's listen to specifically the word salad that Cam Newton put forth on Monday morning.
I can hear the comments now. Well, keep that same energy about the fool's gold. Wow, this about Drake May. Well, we needed to see. When you start to see week in and week out how the New England Patriots perform, whether it's Diggs, whether it's Hollins, whether it's Hunter Henry, whether it's Austin Hooper, whether it's Kyle Williams, whether it's a Ramondre, whether it's Trevion, whether it's, it don't matter who the it is, they're taking turns making plays better than any team in football. Yes, Drake May is the orchestrator, but when you give guys opportunity, the amount of times that we've seen Matt Hollins go climb ladder, then he gets up and he does his celebration, and then boom. These things are something that starts to give even me, a known hater to some people's thought process, like, yo, like, I'm believing in the New England Patriots, and not for a reason for one specific person. It's a collective that these guys have made it in their minds to say, hey, we're going to take turns making plays, not mistakes.
Okay, so the reason that he is changing his attitude on the Patriots is because of the depth of weaponry on their offense that they have. To boil it down the way that I took it is because they can have any number of players beat you. And that's true. I mean, their leading wide receiver, or their leading receiver from a reception yards perspective, changed every single week. I mean, you had Diggs, you had Hollins, you had Henry, you had Stevens. It just kind of bounced around, and it still continues to do. But what about that changed on Sunday? Did that just magically appear on Sunday's game? I feel like that's been a pillar of the New England Patriots all season long.
Right. It's because they were on primetime.
Okay,
there you go. And he didn't have any other games
to watch. So he actually got the chance to watch it for the first time.
To watch the Patriots, right? They're watching around the NFL. They're not really locked in necessarily on one game. The Patriots are on primetime, and now all of a sudden he realizes, like, oh, you know what? There are playmakers on this team beyond just perhaps Stephon Diggs. Like, I think that's the name people gravitate towards. But
yeah,
he mentioned Matt Hollins in there. It's Mac Hollins. He mentioned him in there. He was great. Hunter Henry, Trevion Henderson, Ramondre Stevenson. Like, they have many weapons that can hurt you. And like you said, this is not a new thing. It's
right,
because they were on prime time and people actually got a chance to watch him and lock
it. It don't matter who the it is.
Well, that has been – so that idea of the multiple different – you know, the value of the whole is better than, like, the value of the individual. When you put the whole thing together in the offense, that's been a huge thing for the Patriots this season. I would argue against Cam Newton in that situation. That's actually something that makes me feel more nervous about a potential playoff run or a home matchup, which we'll get into with the Texans or the Bills or the Chargers, three of the better pass-defending teams in the league. I still think that lack of a true definitive number one receiver, in the fact that you do have to spread the ball around at the rate that the Patriots do, that to me makes me nervous. That makes me really nervous in a playoff game where, I mean, maybe Stephon Diggs looks like he did against the Bills 2 weeks ago, where he's not necessarily getting that first step, where he's a little slow into his breaks, where he just doesn't have that same step that he then turned around and had against Baltimore. I think the absence of a number one wide receiver, if I was ranking concerns that I had, it's not number one, that would probably be the run defense, but I don't think that's a positive for the Patriots. And I think that if they were to live up to that fool's gold kind of moniker, that might be something that does him in.
I think you have to make it Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 5-0 when he goes over 60-plus receiving yards this year.
Right.
Like, make him that guy. Like, I know the snap percentages and all that have been a little inconsistent. And right, he's, you know, on the back nine of his career coming off a torn ACL. He's given the Patriots more than they could have asked for this year. Production-wise, right, as a leader, top to bottom. But you have to make him that guy in the postseason. Like, he's a guy that's been there before, has had a lot of success in this league. And he's someone that Drake May clearly trusts. I mean, even the games where he has three or four receptions, how many of them are coming on third down, got to have it down? He's going to Stephon Diggs, and he's making plays. And
right,
for the most part, when he's been called upon this year on those big downs, those third or fourth downs, or in those games like Buffalo, like the other night against Baltimore, he's gone to Stephon Diggs. That has been his guy. So that is the guy that you need to make your number one option. Because right now, as Stephon Diggs loves to say, we all we got, we all we need, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's like, there's no one you're going to add, right? So I think you have to make Stephon Diggs that guy. And he's proven he can do it. And I know you kind of alluded to it. Like, yeah, you're asking an older receiver to do it, still coming off the knee. But he's proven he can do it. And I think you have to put him in those situations, especially as the playoffs near. That's your guy. That is your number one option. Just unleash him. And I know it's been kind of a point of emphasis for this offense, is spreading it around, sharing the wealth, getting guys involved. And they've done a good job with that. But this is why you go out and get Stephon Diggs. Go out and let him be Stephon Diggs.
Let me ask you this. And we, Joe Weil and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, just because, you know, Steph talked after the game about how he signed with the Patriots, not necessarily expecting to be participating in the playoffs this year. So it kind of confirmed a lot of the conspiracies that we had going into the season, which were, yeah, I'm not sure either side really wanted each other, but the Patriots needed somebody and Stephon Diggs needed a home. So what were your expectations for him twofold? First of all, what did you think he was capable of physically when he signed with New England? And then what did you think his presence would be as a teammate, as a leader, as a member of the burgeoning culture that the Patriots were trying to establish?
Yeah, physically, I didn't expect him to be on the field week one.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember being down there for OTAs and just how quick he was moving. And granted, a lot of those drills are 50, 75%. They're not going 100%. They don't have pads on. And you kind of don't want to fall into it. But you're seeing him run these kind of routes in, that's what, March or April, somewhere in there in the springtime. And you're like, wow, you know, he might actually be ready to go. Like, this is fascinating to watch. And it jumped out right away. Just him being the first to go in every individual drill kind of set the tone. Like, this is a younger group of receivers with the exception of Mac Hollins. A lot of these guys are younger, just starting kind of getting their feet wet. And last year, probably didn't learn much, right,
being with this
Patriots team. So for Stephon Diggs to show up and just be the set the tone right away, be the first to go in drills, be very vocal. From day one, he's just been an exceptional leader. And I think that was one of the bigger questions surrounding him coming into the season. It's like, all right, well, he wore out his welcome in Minnesota, wore out his welcome in Buffalo. CJ Stroud spoke very highly of him, but he only put 7 games last year before he got hurt. So sample size wasn't really big enough to dive into it. But you're seeing just from day one, again, like, he's just been exactly what they needed. And I think part of that is because of where he's at in his career. Like, he's, like I said earlier, he's on the back nine now. You know, he's coming off the injury as well.
Yeah.
I don't think he's, you know, necessarily feels the way he used to. Like, all right, I have to have the ball. Like, I have to be the guy. Like, I think he's more willing now to be like, okay, like, this is where I'm at. And if this is how I can help the team and, you know, overachieve expectations this year, then I'm going to do it.
And, you know, he's done so much individually in his career. I mean, you look at those years when he went to Buffalo. I mean, as soon as he gets there, 1,500 yards, 8 touchdowns, then 10, then 11, stays within at least 1,100 yards each of those the 4 years that he's there. After two breakout years, age 25 and 26 in Minnesota, he's still missing that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's missing that level of team success. That is something that ends up being a black mark on the resume of players who do not achieve it. Elite players at their position, if you don't add the Super Bowl at some point in your career, even as you are a veteran who's starting to, you know, think about riding off into the sunset, that's something that's held against you. So I do wonder if the growth that we've seen, because you think about where we were in the summer, even as he was starting to show out physically a bit. You know, you had the stuff on the boat. You had a couple of workouts that were voluntary, but where he wasn't there. And then I would love to have been a fly on the wall watching Stephon Diggs play under Mike Vrabel and play with Drake May and get a chance to work with Josh McDaniels and the incredible level of veterans that they added to the coaching staff, because it seems like earlier on than a lot of people would have expected, this culture started to form itself. And it seems like pretty early on, Steph Diggs realized, oh, I might be a part of something here. There might be something that's growing in New England that I certainly didn't foresee when I chose to sign here. So to watch him grow into the vocal leader, the guy that breaks the group down, we all we got, we all we need. You hear him before the game, you hear him after the game. To see that has blown me away. And it seems like it happened pretty early on in from voluntary camp into mandatory into training camp, that this culture started to hit. He became a huge part of it. And now what I wonder, and I'm curious where you land on this, he's in year one of a 3-year deal, but a lot of the guaranteed money goes in year one. So you can theoretically cut bait without much penalty. Is this a multi-year thing with Stephon Diggs to you?
I think it would depend on what you can do in the offseason.
Okay.
Like, I think, and we're talking about how great Stephon Diggs has been for them this year, but if you can get a chance to get a guy like, I don't know, names that float around all the time, an A.J. Brown, a T. Higgins, like,
yeah,
one of those guys,
right.
I feel like you do it. And I think Stephon Diggs would be open to the idea of coming back, but I don't think right now, if you're looking at it, like, you'd be to tell me if he, like, was to get out of this deal and be able to test different options, he wouldn't have other suitors? Like, I'd find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
I think people would be interested in him, maybe not as a number one receiver, but people would certainly be interested in him. But I think it all depends on how Drake May and Mike Vrabel feel about him. And they both seem to be very pleased with what he's given and what he's provided. So I don't see why there'd be any reason to move on from him. I mean, he's been just, again, he's just been exactly what you could have asked for and then some.
It'd be pretty great to see a T. Higgins, A.J. Brown type to add in with him, to then add with Hollins. Hopefully Kyle Williams takes that step. Like, there's, you are essentially one notable wide receiving addition away from that room all of a sudden being pretty eye-openingly good. But for the time being, again, that's a conversation in the future, because the Patriots are rolling. They've clinched a playoff spot. They're on the verge of clinching an AFC East title, and they've been so good that even Cam Newton is walking back his take. But I still wonder, and we'll get into this next, I still wonder, based on the opponents that are available for the Patriots to play in a potential first-round matchup, Buffalo, Houston, and Los Angeles, I do still wonder about their ability to win a playoff game. And this got brought up on the text line yesterday as well. I wonder about their ability to win at home. It's a strange thing. They've still been good at home, but there's something that is brought out of this group. And I think the phrase that Mike Vrabel used was pack your identity. You know, essentially bring your identity as a carry-on with you when we go. And that has worked wonders. But playing a home playoff game against some of the better defenses that you see in the league, where's your level of confidence in the Patriots in a playoff atmosphere at Gillette in a couple of weeks, based on what we've seen recently?
It's pretty high.
Okay.
And that's mainly not because of the Patriots, but because of the AFC around them.
Yeah.
Like, it is weak this year. And,
yeah,
you know, you're looking at it like, who really scares you? I think Buffalo would be the number one, and because of two words, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He's the best player in football right now. And, you know, I know Drake May has shown that he can compete with them. The Patriots have shown that he can compete with them. But I think there is something to be said about being there and experiencing that heartbreak and that losing in the playoffs and learning how to lose. It's often said you have to learn how to lose before you know how to learn how to win.
Right.
We dealt with that for how long with the Boston Celtics, right? Like,
yeah,
you see,
oh,
it,
yeah,
firsthand here.
Yeah.
So I think there is something to be said about that. And Josh Allen being so close for all this time, like, I think that's what worries you. But, like, the Texans, it's like C.J. Stroud, they almost lost to Geno Smith and the Raiders last week. And I know the Patriots did before we play the Uno reverse card game here. Like,
yeah,
I know the Patriots lost to the Raiders, but that was week one. I think if they were to play them now, it would be a lot different. The Broncos, I mean, how many fourth quarter comebacks are you really going to get away with? Like, especially in the postseason. Like,
right.
You know, it's not really a sustainable way. I understand the Texans and the Broncos both have very good defenses, but on offense, I'm just not worried about it. Like, you're looking at these teams, these playoff teams, and the Patriots have the second best quarterback in the AFC in the playoffs, I'd say, like right now. Like, you put Josh Allen above him still, but Drake May is right there. It's like, who of these teams would want to see the Patriots and Drake May right now? Like, I don't think many of them.
It's a fair point. It's a very fair point with the way that Drake May is playing. Okay, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're taking your calls early and often. If you're trying to sneak in and get your Christmas shopping done, well, this is a place to be for that as well as we bring you into the holiday. Before we take a break and get to Jackson's Trending, Patrick is in Braintree. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm just wrapping my ex-wife's boyfriend's Christmas gift. I just want to talk about DJ Metcalf. You know what's not getting they're not even talking about the two people that are on the sidelines, the policeman and the two security guys that are there. Let them go over there and pull the guys here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Patrick. Thank you very much for the call, and good luck with the Christmas arrangement that is apparently going
on. That sounds like it'll be go over nicely.
Yeah, I would say... the security guard and the policeman is a fair point, but I mean you see players over by that. You don't expect that a player is going to punch a fan when they start to kind of walk and move their way over to the sidelines. But point is well taken. I'm more curious about the first part. If I'm being completely honest with you.
I'm just wrapping my ex-wife's boyfriend's Christmas gift.
So you're certainly not doing that with a smile on your face. I would recommend pairing that with an eggnog.
I wonder what it is.
I would love to know.
But that can't possibly be a thoughtful gift, right?
I guess not, right?
How well could you possibly know the guy?
Right. And even if you do know the guy, are you really going out of your way to get a thoughtful gift for that person
in
your life?
That's a five below gift.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that feels like booze to me. You know, I'm going to go get a cheap bottle of something
and throw it
in a bag. Jackson, what do you get for your what do you get for when you're that many degrees of separation? What's an acceptable gift in that situation?
I'd say an ugly sweater or a giant lump of coal.
Coal's always a good option.
Guys were having the conversation about getting socks for Christmas when you were doing the crossover. Marcus Jones said on Monday that all he asks for is socks. And he doesn't even want, he doesn't want a nice pair like the ones that you can buy online. He just wants your average Hanes Costco pair of socks for Christmas.
Well, football players are weird like that. Ted Johnson told us he wore two pairs of socks while playing, and he wears three while working out.
That's true. Yeah, maybe there's a tactical advantage to just loading up on socks during the holiday season. So
Lieutenant Dan said it's the most important thing in Vietnam.
Amen.
That's right. 617-779-7937. What would you get ex-wife's boyfriend for Christmas? Or what are you getting everybody for Christmas? We got everything on the table here as it should be a fun one here on WEEI. Ball and Terp with you in for Jones and Keefe. More Patriots talk coming up. We'll get further into the potential opponents for the Patriots later on in the hour as well. We ran through a couple of them, but what are the benefits and maybe some of the worries about playing some of the other teams in the AFC? We'll do all that after Jackson gets you caught up on what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Bruins, they fell apart last night in the final period of play, allowing 4 unanswered goals to the Canadiens, losing 6-2. Swayman had 23 saves on 29 shots. They are off until Saturday when they take on the Sabres. We get a lot of Christmas football tomorrow. You can hear Westwood One's coverage of all 3 games right here on WEEI. At 12:30, we got the Cowboys taking on the Commanders. Then at 4:15, Detroit takes on Minnesota. And the end of the day, we got Chiefs with no Mahomes, no Minshew, but they do take on Bo Nix and the Broncos. If the Broncos do lose that game and the Pats beat the Jets on Sunday, then we are the number one seed in the AFC. So we could get a Christmas miracle. I'm Jackson. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank. Upgrade to local member DIFFD.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I see.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI, Dan Ball, Justin Turpin in for the guys. It is Christmas Eve morning, and we thank you for joining us here on Boston Sports Original. 617-779-7937 for the Twitchers. Justin Turpin has entered the chat. Something that I guess you make it a point of doing most mornings?
Yeah, giving the guys a shout-out. Yeah, of course.
Just a hello, yeah. Good morning. And I appreciate the group because they're immediately very complimentary of you. And the work that you do covering the Boston Celtics, this is now year what for you covering the Celtics?
Year four already.
Year four.
Wild, yeah.
And you have seen some unbelievable basketball. You got there at, about the best time that somebody could get to covering a team.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, I remember my first day actually covering the team was Joe Mazzulla's first press conference. And
wow.
Just to think of how weird that time was. They had just went to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Ime Udoka's suspension comes down. At the time, it was just indefinitely. And no one really knew a whole lot about Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
And just the way they talked about him that day, like, because he had been a player development coach in the organization for quite a few years. They were coached in Maine as well. The way the players talked about him that day, it was kind of obvious. It's like, well, you know what? They might have something here.
Yeah.
And turns out they do.
Yeah, certainly will. So we'll do a full Pure Hoops hour coming up at 11 o'clock. So stay tuned for that as we'll get into the nitty gritty for the Boston Celtics. But in the meantime, we're talking about the New England Patriots. We're also taking suggestions for that guy who said that he was wrapping his ex-wife's boyfriend's Christmas present to the texter from the 207 that says it's a gift from his kids, guys. Be real. I we're going on face value. We're going on the information that we have. And also, the 203 disagreed and did not believe that eggnog was a strong enough substance to be drinking for that kind of occasion. So appreciate your suggestions. And hopefully, I think it was Patrick in Braintree is listening and taking all of that advice. Bill Barnwell, who Ted Johnson once famously described as somebody who lives in his mother's basement, wrote a story talking about something that has been the bane of the existence of Patriots fans all season long as they have been successful, which is strength of schedule. The Patriots' strength of schedule this season is 4.2 points easier than that of a league average team. By Pro Football Reference measure, the Patriots have played the 10th easiest schedule of any team since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970 and the second easiest of any team in the 21st century. Should that disqualify the Patriots from being taken seriously as a Super Bowl contender? If we use the same metric and look back into the past, the answer is no. Teams with easy schedules often post gaudy regular season records, but when the competition gets tougher in the playoffs, they don't stop winning there either. So, of the teams that are listed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the Patriots are 10. Three of the previous nine the 1999 Rams, the 1970 Colts, the 1972 perfection Miami Dolphins all won the Super Bowl. The other results that you see, you have three losses in the divisional round and three losses in the divisional round, one Super Bowl loss, two conference championship losses
one,
of the nine
two,
teams.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I was counting on the fly, even though I think it said 10 just like 30 seconds before. So that information being what it is, Justin Turpin, does the Patriots' regular season schedule matter?
I think it does in a way. I think you look at it maybe in the fact that they haven't been tested, but I don't think it's a way to kind of diminish it and take away from them. I don't think it's that at all. I did see the stat yesterday, which is kind of wild. The Patriots are 12-3, tied for the best record in the NFL, but they have as many wins against teams over 500 as the 2-13 Giants. So that's a little, you know, you hear stuff like that and you're a little bit hesitant, but I don't think it takes away at all from what they've been able to accomplish this year.
Right.
The only thing I kind of raises questions about it would be, are they tested enough? Like, even last week, like Sunday was their last true test before. I don't think anyone's really shaking in their boots about playing the Jets or the Dolphins with Quinn Ewers and, what's it, Brady Cook.
Yeah.
Not necessarily worried about those guys.
Been outscored, the Jets have, by at least 23 points in their last three games.
Just a quick thought on the Jets.
Yeah.
How do you play 15 weeks of football and not record an interception? How does that happen?
It's almost impressive, isn't it?
They have four takeaways on the season.
Right.
Four.
That's it's the perfect melt between poor scheme and poor talent is what it is. And Aaron Glenn's a defensive coach, is he not? Like,
yeah, he was a DC.
He was and a damn good one.
Yeah.
A defensive coordinator that got a chance to be a head coach. You would have thought the Jets would have learned from Robert Saleh that maybe that's not the right call. But, that is the ultimate ultimate stoppable force and movable object of terrible scheme and terrible talent.
It's fascinating.
And Sauce Gardner, who is a fantastic corner, but I don't know if that's a factor of him being checked out or if he was hurt or if he was just being put in the wrong places. I don't really know. But almost impressively bad.
Yeah, but anyways, so I don't think it's anything to take away from the Patriots because I think the league at large is down. Like, if you're looking at the standings this year, I don't think many people look at the Rams. Going into the year, you weren't even sure if Stafford was going to be ready to go.
Right.
He was dealing with such a bad back injury that his status is up in the air. Like, I don't think anyone would have expected the Patriots, the Rams, the Broncos, those teams to be at the top. I know the Broncos made the playoffs last year, but for them to be the one seed in the AFC right now, I don't think many people expected that. And I just think the down year across the league kind of has to be factored into this when you're discussing the schedule at large. I mean, yeah, nobody's going to argue the Patriots have had an easy schedule.
Yeah.
But I don't think it necessarily matters because, first of all, what do they say in the NFL all the time? Any given Sunday.
That's right.
Still 11 wins.
Right.
11 wins. You had three last year. The fourth one does not count. You won three games last year. And now you have 11.
Right.
So you can't take
12.
Away from what the
Patriots...
12, right. 12. 12. You can't take away from what the Patriots have done this year because of the strength of schedule.
It's a fair point on both sides that you make. I mean, you look through the teams that... You look through the teams that should have been in the conversation. I mean, Kansas City at 6-9. I don't think anybody saw them missing the playoffs. Brady didn't do it, so Mahomes wasn't supposed to do it. You look at a team in the East, even Miami at 6-9. I think they were supposed to be at least somewhat competitive, maybe not the best example. But Cincinnati at 5-10 is a disaster. So you're right in that it wasn't supposed to be this easy to get to the top. And I think if you look at the individual challenges that the Patriots have dealt with, they've dealt with some playoff caliber units, some playoff caliber players, some elite players that they've had to deal with. Cleveland's the prime example. They beat Cleveland 32-13. Cleveland obviously stinks, but the big conversation was, well, how is the left side of the offensive line going to be able to hold up when you're dealing with Myles Garrett? And the answer was not amazingly, but you still won running away in spite of that. They tried to double team him with Jack West over there. It didn't work. He still got his sacks, but you still found a way to win the game. Tampa Bay, at the time, that was a massive challenge given that it seemed like, you know, Baker at the time was an odds-on favorite to win MVP. They looked like they had a chance to do some good things in the NFC. You end up winning on the road, tough test. You win that one by five. You've had individual challenges maybe no more so than that first game in Buffalo where you turned a lot of heads. That first Sunday Night Football game where it's Drake May against the quarterback you want Drake May to be, and you go in there and you win and you force a couple of turnovers. So as much as I recognize that a group of opponents like Las Vegas, New Orleans, Tennessee, Atlanta, the Jets twice, the Giants, the Dolphins twice, like that's an easy road. How many last place teams have gotten that same kind of schedule and done next to nothing with it? It's one thing if they were a 7-8 win team, you'd go, all right, that was a terrible team that got an easy schedule that's getting better. To your point, to have the best percentage of being the number one seed in the AFC almost renders that schedule null and void because they've done so much more with that schedule than I think anybody thought that they would.
And the most important part about it is it's been driven by the two most important people in this franchise right now, hands down.
Yes.
Drake May and Mike Vrabel.
Right.
Drake May, you presume, is only going to get better. He's only 23 years old. And he had questions going into this year. It's like, all right, we've saw flashes of it last year, but how good can he really be? Well, he's second in MVP voting as a 23-year-old. You sign up for that every day.
Right.
Mike Vrabel, first year here. He's just has this kind of persona about him that he's able to get the most out of all of his players. It's kind of like those two guys can kind of raise all the tides. And that is so important for this team that regardless of who you're playing, regardless of the schedule, like it's all going to even out. Like it is what it is. But for those guys to be driving this force is just, that's the most important part about it.
Right, because it makes this feel sustainable. Now, granted, we probably said similar things about the Washington Commanders last year because I think they had a very similar thing happen where they got their coach, they got their quarterback, and all of a sudden it just kind of popped. And they, you know, took a step back this year, and Jaden Daniels' injuries were a large part of that. But regardless of if that happens next year, Terp, you're right in that this not only has been a success, but it feels as though when you come back to camp next year and you get a first place schedule to where you're going to have a considerable amount more of tougher games to deal with next year. You'll also have Mike Vrabel and Drake May having learned from an incredibly successful first season, ready to take another second step of their own. So it all feels, it feels like it's sustainable for the long term. It feels like it's not just a one-off that you're doing something and it is the beginning of something. So it's a conversation that is going to hang over the Patriots for the remainder of the season about the easy schedule. If they get knocked out early, people are going to blame the schedule. If they get a bye in the first round because they get the number one seed, people are going to blame the schedule. It all comes down to what you do in the playoffs against a handful of teams that maybe you didn't necessarily see during the regular season. 617-779-7937. The calls are lining up to talk about the Patriots and their schedule. Ed and Fred, they rhyme, and the rest of you. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll talk about the teams that the Patriots could face in a potential wild card or divisional round matchup, which one you most and least would like to face. And
when you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes, and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different.
Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Do that next. See, who needs a camera on us when you can just follow Jackson headbanging in the background there, David? If you could show Jackson right now.
What is this?
I was wondering the same
this
thing.
Is
there you
iced
go.
Earth 10,000 strong.
Yeah.
Come on.
So this is not Christmas necessarily. This is just a banger.
Yeah, this is just a banger. Got to get people up, man. Come on.
There you go.
Christmas Eve. Be happy. Be fun.
Amen.
Got to wake up for Jones and Keefe. Ball and Terp in for the guys. 617-779-7937. There's a Bruins conversation going on in the Twitch chat right now. They're surmising that there needs to be a major change in management for the Bruins, which I wholeheartedly agree with, but you're starting to kind of see the cracks in the foundation with them this year, but we'll leave that one there. I was enjoying reading the commentary there, but we'll get back to the Patriots and their schedule. We just discussed the historically easy schedule that the Patriots had and how it compares to other teams that have done well in the playoffs. And Fred in Providence has a thought on that. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, good morning and Merry Christmas.
Good morning.
As the Patriots have kept winning, the more and more the discussion about strength of schedule keeps growing,
yep.
But it raises a bigger question in my mind. To me, I look at the NFL and they engineer the schedules essentially. And even though there's a lot of things that impact schedules, strength of schedule, like injuries and strength of the division and so forth, I think that like the engineered schedules reduce the value of the meaning of championships. And I don't know. I just wonder what your thoughts about that were. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
No, Fred, thank you for the call. And the term engineered schedules, I think, is a bit of a misnomer. I mean, as far as my rudimentary understanding of it is that you rotate the divisions that you play, and based on where you finish the season before in your division, you're matched up with the team from the year prior of the equal strength. So while the Patriots got the Giants, the Bills get the Eagles, that kind of thing. So it really only leads to 2 to 3 games worth of real deviation from who you're playing. So I would just caution against using the term engineered, because there is a formula with which they put the schedules together. The only deviation is just where you finished in your own division last year.
I'd also disagree that it takes away from the winning. We hear all the time about the 1972 Dolphins and how every time a team loses in October, it's like, oh, the 72 Dolphins are pumping the champagne again.
Yeah.
Did you ever know they had a top 10 easiest schedule in NFL history?
No, would never have known it, would never have guessed it, could have maybe surmised it, but it's no longer part of it's not ever been part of the story of the 72.
It's never been discussed.
Right.
So it's like when you win the championship, you win the championship, and very rarely do you look back at the regular season numbers. Like, what did the Chiefs get last year? They got probably like 12-4, but they
something
didn't
like that,
score
yeah.
30 points or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Until the playoffs, like
right.
Nobody talks about that stuff. You won the Super Bowl; that's the end all be all.
Yeah.
So I would disagree with that. And you know, again, like kind of feels like just you have to find a way to generate the schedule somehow. And
right.
You know, the way they're doing it, I feel like it's also just never really been a conversation until this year. And we're talking about, like we were just talking about in the last segment, a historically easy schedule. And I think that's the only reason this is a conversation. But if they go out and win the Super Bowl, like, no one's ever going to talk about that. They won the Super Bowl in Drake May's second year and Mike Vrabel's first year as head coach. That would be the story. It would not be the easy regular season.
Right, because the implication of that conversation is you will have to have beaten at least 3 elite teams. You'll have to have beaten for example, the Bills, the Broncos, and the Rams, or the Seahawks, or or the Jaguars or something, you will have gone on a run of three straight games of beating teams that were not in your schedule this year, unless you face the Bills, and three teams that are worth it. And so, you know, I went through and looked at the 10 or the nine teams other than the Patriots that were listed just to see, okay, who's your coach and who's your quarterback? And a lot of times when you're winning Super Bowls, you had an easy schedule, but then when you got to the playoffs, you relied on Dick Vermeil and Kurt Warner. You relied on Don Shula and Bob Greasy. Like, there, you relied on elite coaching talent and elite quarterback talent to win you football games. And you made the point last segment, the two biggest pillars of the Patriots' success being their coach and their quarterback. That feels like something that is sustainable in the playoffs. The one thing that I'll say specifically about the Bills that I think is interesting is the two games this year where Drake May has not thrown a passing touchdown, both came against Buffalo.
But interesting.
You won the first game, and if you didn't collapse in the second half, you would have been 2-0 in spite of that. So I would add your coach, your quarterback, and your offensive coordinator, who figured out, hey, if we run the ball with Drake in the red zone, we're going to score against Buffalo. So the schedule will be attached to the Patriots until either they lose in the playoffs or you win a Super Bowl. And no matter what, it just becomes something that goes down as a footnote in history after the fact. But
even then, people won't talk about it.
Right.
It'll be the development. Again, they won three games last year. The fourth one does not count.
Right.
For this team, regardless of the schedule, no matter what it is. And look at the free agents, too. Like, we're talking about Drake May and Mike Vrabel, the pillars of this team for years to come, really kind of elevating this whole team. And that is the number one, the most important thing. But you're also looking at the free agency class, like, go top to bottom. They hit on pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
And that's another conversation for this team. It's like what you were able to get from the offseason signings. Like, that's huge. And I don't think you can replicate that every year. Like, that's just the law of averages would suggest that that's not possible. But that's another part of this. So I think the schedule thing right now, yeah, it's a hot topic and, you know, it's been discussed all year. But no matter what, whenever the season ends, like, I don't think it'll be, if they lose in the playoffs, sure, people will bring it up real quick. But I think it would immediately turn towards reflection of, like, look how far they came and look at the foundation and the culture that they built in year one. Like, no one expected to be talking about it like this. Like,
right.
No one expected the one seed to be on the table. Hell, a chance to win the AFC East. And if all goes well, you probably should win the AFC East. No one expected this. Like, you're way ahead of schedule. And I think people need to appreciate this team and what they've brought and, you know, this foundation that they're laying as opposed to kicking it down because of an easy schedule. I think it's just so silly.
And you know why the easy schedule has become the biggest refrain for people? It's because, once again, and this is something that Patriots fans were privy to for the better part of two decades, people are trying to grasp at straws for why this team shouldn't be considered a Super Bowl contender. And you can't point to the quarterback because he's proven it time and again that he's worthy of consideration for MVP and for the best quarterback in the league and the guy that if you were starting a franchise tomorrow, you would pick first overall. You can't point to the coach. You certainly can't point to the coaching staff, which has been which is maybe the part of the team that you expected to be great and then has also been great with the amount of veterans that Mike Vrabel surrounded himself with. You can't point to that. The defense, when healthy, has been pretty, you know, pretty solid, and the offense as a whole has taken a lot of steps forward from where we thought it was going to be. So what else am I supposed to point to? If I'm supposed to poke a hole in the New England Patriots, I'll go to the schedule and the fact that record-wise, people would perceive that they haven't played anyone. But I do think ultimately it's more nuanced than that, and three of the nine teams that were in that situation, Terp, have won Super Bowls. So that's ultimately all that matters.
Four have been there.
Right, exactly. Four have been there. Six of the nine have at least lost in a conference championship. And if the Patriots lose in the AFC championship, are you really – I mean, obviously it's sad to see your favorite team lose, but are you really that disappointed? If you
Not
lose to the Bills, the Broncos, the Texans, the Jaguars, a team on the doorstep of the Super Bowl after winning four games technically last year, are you the least bit disappointed?
Not at all.
And you have a 67% chance based on history – of getting that far, that's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. So as easy as the schedule has been, the piece from Bill Barnwell suggests that, all right, you know, maybe there's still some playoff success that can happen, God willing, with an easy schedule in the regular season.
So yes!
Yeah, that's right. We'll leave the Patriots conversation there. And you know why he is as excited as he is? It's time for Pure Hoops with Terp. We're not just doing one segment. I'm not just grilling you for 20 minutes and then going to a trending. We're doing it for an hour, and we're doing that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.